I'd like to welcome everyone here tonight. What a great turnout. Thank you. When I met Governor Howard Dean about, I'd say 2-3 months ago, we talked about education. And as a school board member here in Manchester, that was a very big issue for me. We've been dealing with these federally underfunded programs. No Child Left Behind. And we spoke a couple times on the issue, and he had me really excited about the things that he thought we could do for education. And hopefully, and with all of our support, he will be the next president.
Kathy Kelly just showed why she's going to be reelected unanimously, right? Let me also recognize two other important people. Mayor Baines came by to see what the disturbance was about. Here's Bob. And the chair of the New Hampshire Democratic Party, Kathy Sullivan. There are probably a whole lot of other elected people here, and I can't see anything in these TV lights, so I apologize for not recognizing those who I may not have recognized and should have. And let me also thank Kathy for doing this. What would you have done if it rained? Now, this is a great crowd, and I'm going to have a little fun at the president's expense tonight. But you can't get elected president by just knocking the other guy. You also have to say what you would do. And we're going to have a little bit of that kind of discussion, too. There are two things that you have to get right if you're going to be president. We're going to talk about health care, renewable energy, investment in kids, education. But the two things that you absolutely have to get right are foreign policy and the economy. And I think this president's got them both wrong. I believe in balanced budgets. And the reason I believe in balanced budgets are, one, balanced budgets leads to jobs. When Bill Clinton balanced the budget beginning in 1993 without one single Republican vote, it began to give investors confidence in America. Again, they invested and jobs were created. That's one. Secondly, if you care about social justice, you ought to care about a balanced budget. I balanced the budgets in Vermont. I was in governor for so long that I actually served through both Bush recessions, not just one. And it was tough. We had to cut taxes, we had to scrimp, we had to save. But over the years, we didn't spend all the money. We put a lot of it aside, and we paid off a quarter of the state's debt. We went from the worst bond rating in New England to the best bond rating in New England. But in the last couple of years, we did not cut health care for kids. We did not cut education, higher education. We did not cut K through 12 education. We did not cut aid to cities and towns, and we balanced the budget. If you want social justice, you have to understand that a time when the revenues for the state and the federal government go down is exactly the time when people who depend on government the most need the most help. And we're not just talking about poor people. Middle-class people are having trouble sending their kids to college because the president's tax cuts were paid for in part by cutting Pell Grants. Middle-class people are worried about the growing size of their class size in their public schools. Middle-class people are worried about fewer course offerings in their public schools. In fact, middle-class people never got a tax cut from the president because, think of all that, those checks, that $600 check and that $400 check that you might get. But then think about your property taxes in the last couple of years, right? To make up for all those unfunded mandates that the president didn't fund, like special education and No Child Left Behind and Homeland Security and cutting Pell Grants and cutting kids off health care. That's how the president paid for this, cutting veterans' health benefits. You know, the president went to a veterans' hospital in January said how much we owed our veterans. He was going to have the best health care system for them. The day before, he had cut 164,000 American veterans off their health care benefits.
Well,
I'm tired of a president who talks big on defense. I'd like to hear a president who is big on defense.
Yeah.
So first, we're going to balance the budget. Then we're going to invest in small businesses because small businesses create more jobs than large businesses do, and they don't move their jobs to Indonesia.
Yeah.
Then, instead of that, spending that $3 trillion that the president borrowed to give Ken Lay and the boys tax cuts, that $3 trillion includes the $2.4 trillion in taxes and the $600 billion in interest costs for the enormous deficit they created. Instead of taking that $3 trillion, suppose we had taken some of that and built roads and bridges and schools and broadband communications to rural areas and renewable energy and invested in that in this country. Then imagine how many jobs we'd have and we'd have something to show for it. Now, we've all read about this McGovern liberal dean guy who can't get elected. Birkenstock guy from Vermont. I'm not going to say we should get rid of the president's tax cuts. We'll give you a choice. Would you rather have health insurance that no one can ever take away, that's affordable, or would you rather have the president's tax cut? Would you rather have the president's tax cut, or shall we fully fund special education so your property taxes go down? Would you rather have the president's tax cut so we should restart to balance the budget and invest in America so we can have jobs again in this country? Most people are going to pick jobs, education, and health care because most people didn't get the president's tax cut. I was in Manchester, maybe 13 or 14 months ago, and I was speaking to a small group, and I gave this speech, and a guy came up and stood up after the speech, and he said, "Well, Governor, you may make some sense. I got that $600 check from the president, but my 401k went down $60,000. I think I was better off before the president's tax cut." And the truth is that most Americans would gladly pay the same taxes they paid when Bill Clinton was president if only they could have the same economy they had when Bill Clinton was president. We've lost 3 million jobs in this country since this president's been in office. We can't afford another 4 years. Now let's talk about foreign policy. Most of you know that I did not support the president's war in Iraq. All the other Democrats are beating up on me and saying, he can't get elected if he didn't support the war in Iraq. He's not tough enough on defense. Well, let me tell you about defense. First, I supported the first Gulf War because I thought one of our allies had been attacked and we had an obligation to defend them. Secondly, I supported the Afghan War because 3,000 of our people had been murdered and I thought that was a matter of national defense to make sure they didn't do it again. But the president told us that Iraq was buying uranium from Africa. That turned out not to be true. The president told us that Saddam Hussein was making a deal with Osama bin Laden. That turns out not to be true. The vice president told us that Saddam Hussein was about to get atomic weapons. That turned out not to be true. And the secretary of defense told us he knew exactly where the weapons of mass destruction were right around Tikrit and Baghdad. And that wasn't true either. I will never hesitate to send American troops to any country in the world to defend the United States of America, but I will never send American troops abroad to die without telling the American people why that is. Yeah. Mr. President, the president talks big about how tough he is on defense. But he had $3 trillion to give to Ken Lay and the boys in Texas to writing him those $2,000 checks. But he didn't have enough money to pay for Homeland Security for New Hampshire and New York. He had $3 trillion to give to his friends who are writing them those $2,000 checks, but he didn't have enough money to purchase the enriched uranium of the former Soviet Union, which we're entitled to do under the Cooperative Threat Reduction Agreement. If that stuff gets in terrorist hands, then we really do have a problem. He had $3 trillion to give away to his friends who are writing them all those $2,000 checks, but he doesn't have enough money to inspect the 90% of the cargo containers that come into this country every single day uninspected. What can you imagine might be in those containers? Don't tell me this president's tough on defense. When it comes to defense, they have a saying in Texas, he is all hat and no cattle. If this president was tough on defense, He wouldn't have cut 28 pages out of the secret report that hid the fact that the Saudis were taking our oil money and using it to fund Hamas and the teaching of hate to small children in the Islamic world. We need a president who's going to have the backbone to stand up for the Saudis instead of covering up for them. Yeah. In my state, everybody under 18 has health insurance. 99% eligible, 96% have it. All the lower-income working people and poor people have health insurance under 150% of poverty. Seniors up to 225% of poverty get help with their prescription drugs. Now, if we can do that in a small rural state, 26th in income in the United States of America, and balance the budget, surely the most powerful and wealthy society in the face of the earth can join the British and the French and the Japanese and the Germans and the Irish and the Italians, the Israelis and the Canadians. Even the Costa Ricans have health insurance for all their people. I am tired of being second-class citizens in the industrial world. There is no reason we can't have a health insurance policy that covers everybody in this country. It doesn't have to be a big government-run program. We just have to do what we did in Vermont. Cover everybody using a combination of the existing government programs and buy-ins to the private program that congressmen have. We can do this, but we have to do it now, and we have to stop apologizing for standing up for something that Harry Truman put in the 1948 Democratic Party platform, which is health insurance for all Americans. Now, there are a lot of teachers here tonight. So I want to talk about, it's not what you think I'm going to talk about, although we're going to talk about that in a minute, too. I want to talk about getting to school ready to learn. You know, this president's supposed to be the education president. His philosophy is 95% of the parents, teachers, and school boards in this country don't care, and they need to be hit over the head in order to make them improve education. I am tired of having the public school systems in this country blamed for the fact that kids graduate without being able to read because they arrive at school from families that are damaged and we don't do anything about it. We need some investment in small children in this country. We have more than 2 million people in America are in prison. Now, prisons are a necessary part of American life. You can't have violent people walking around the street. But most qualified, competent kindergarten teachers can tell you who the 5 kids in her class or his class are that are going to prison 15 or 20 years from now. And if that's the case, why aren't we investing in small children and their families now so we're not spending $40,000 a year in a prison cell 15 years later? So in our state, we do. We visit in the hospital every mother who gives birth, whether she's the wealthiest or the poorest woman in our state. We ask them if they'd like a home visit. 91% say yes. So we visit 91% of all our newborns within 2 to 4 weeks of their birth. Most of those families don't need any help. They're happy to see a friendly face from the community. But the ones that do need help get childcare, health care, parenting skills classes, job training, and programs to keep the dads interested in the kids if it's a single mom. In the last 10 years, our child abuse rate is down 43%. Child sexual abuse is down 70%. Now, what that means is that 10 years from now, hopefully, the number of kids that are heading to prison will drop dramatically, which is the whole purpose of doing this. We have got to stop in this country thinking in terms of 2 and 4 and 6 year terms, which is enough for us to get elected and come back and tell you all, you got to vote for us. Here's all the things we did. If you want to make an investment in children, it has to be over a 20-year horizon because that's how big a generation is. And if you want to make an investment in the environment, it is a 100-year horizon because whatever we do today, we're going to be living with 100 years from now. That's why it's important to do something about renewable energy now in this country instead of waiting. See Karl Rove rubbing his hands, that Birkenstock governor from Vermont. The Danes, I was out and giving this speech in Detroit. A guy gave me a pair of Birkenstocks, the first one I've ever owned. The Danes get 20% of all their electricity from wind. We get less than 0.5%.
80% of all the windmills in the world, wind turbines in the world, used to be in California. Now Europe has 75% of them. This president has allowed the most technologically advanced nation in the world to fall behind all our European competitors. That is nothing to be proud of. I don't like coming in second, and he shouldn't settle for it either. And renewable energy is about jobs, because somebody's got to rebuild the transmission lines, as we all now know. Somebody's got to put in the wind turbines. It's about the environment, because global warming is probably the most important environmental, long-term environmental issue on the face of the earth, with the possible exception of population growth. And it's about national security, because our oil money goes to the Middle East. It's used to fund terrorism. We need to get off foreign oil. And this technology is here now, and we can do it. We are not going to send George Bush back to Crawford, Texas, unless we start behaving like Democrats again. Now, I understand in New Hampshire you need to get independence, and we actually have a group of Republicans for Dean. Because I was just on a talk show down in Texas by radio, and the guy said, look, we have Rush Limbaugh on this station. I'm a conservative Republican from Ohio. I vote straight ticket, but I think I'm going to support you. You know what? It's because I believe in what I'm talking about, and I don't change my positions because it's inconvenient in the polls, and I don't have one position in Manchester and another one in Iowa. I say what I think. You're not going to agree with me on everything. Lord knows I've got positions, I'm sure, and in the question period we'll figure out what they are. I'm sure you have things that you don't agree with me on. But I can tell you one thing. You will not leave here today without knowing where I stand on an issue that you asked me about and knowing that I'm going to say the same thing, whether it's in Iowa or California or Texas. And that's what it's going to take to win. We have to stop being afraid. We have to stop being afraid of the Rush Limbaughs and the fundamentalist preachers and stand up for what we believe in. And if you stand up for what you believe in, guess what? The American voters will actually like it, even though they don't agree with it. They really value the notion that they trust your opinion. I mean, that they trust your willingness to stand up for what you believe in. I was in New York one time, and I was, you know, Upper West Side of New York is about as liberal as you can get. And they asked me a bunch of questions, and they liked my answers. One guy got up and said, how do we know you're just not another Gene McCarthy and we're going to nominate you and you can't win? So I smiled and I said, well, there's a little matter, a few things that you haven't asked me about. And I said, one of them is guns. I come from a state with no gun control. I support the assault weapons ban and the background checks and all that stuff, and I think we should firmly enforce the federal laws. But I think every state should make their own laws after that, because what you need in New York City is not what you need in Vermont. They were horrified. There was a big debate. And on the way out the door, the lady who was leading it, who was the district leader, turned to the hostess, and I heard about this later, it wasn't in front of me, and she said, you know, we all to support this guy. She said, what? And she said, yeah, if he's willing to tell us in the Upper West Side of New York what his position on this issue is, and knowing we don't like it, there's a guy who is going to do what he thinks is the right thing. And that's what I'm going to do. That's what you can count on. But we have got to stop trying to think that we're going to beat George Bush by being Bush light. The other guys, the Washington guys, they're all good people. And believe me, if I don't win this nomination, I'm going to work my rear end off for the person that does, because we have got to send George Bush out of there. He's wrecking the country. They vote for the war. They vote for some of the tax cuts, not all of them. They vote for No Child Left Behind. Anybody here a school board member? Okay, you call it No School Board Left Standing. And here, I know we have teachers here. The teachers call it No Behind Left, right? This is a huge unfunded mandate put together by people who probably never went to public schools. Well, actually, it was also put together by the superintendent from Houston, who now is the education secretary, who we now found out was fudging the dropout record so they could have a great thing to talk about. Yeah, they zeroed out their dropout records by pretending people transferred to other schools. No wonder they thought the Houston schools were so good. So it seems to me that No Child Left Behind is an unfunded mandate, which is a bad thing to do in the first place. Secondly, here's what the president did. New Hampshire has always been in the top five states in the country, probably certainly the top six or seven in the last 50 years, right? Texas has been in the bottom 50 states of the country, five states in the country for the last 50 years. The president's idea of how to improve New Hampshire schools is to make them more like Texas. There's another part of this bill that says each school board, and Kathy knows this, each school board has to certify that their public schools permit, quote, constitutionally protected school prayer, whatever that is. Now, we can have an argument about whether school prayer is a good idea or not. I don't think it is in the public schools. But isn't that a local matter? What is the President of the United States doing trying to decide that for us? And may I ask, what are the Democrats doing voting for a bill like this? Yeah. It seems to me that the way to beat this president is to stand up and take him on when he is wrong, to stop being afraid of him, and to say, Mr. President, we need 3 million jobs in this country. We're spending $1 billion a week in Iraq. We could use that help here on our schools, in our jobs, on our roads, on our airports. Yeah. Where, Mr. President, is my money going? And let's have the debate about issues. And I can promise you one thing. If you make me the nominee of this party, you're going to be proud to be able to vote for a Democrat again. Yeah. Let me close by telling you how I think we're going to win. I think the mistake this party has made in the last couple of years is let's appeal to all the swing voters and then we'll come back and the base will follow us. I think we need to stand up for what we believe in because 80% of leadership is doing what everybody in politics does well if they've been in politics for a while. You listen to the voters, they hired you. They pay your salary, you try to do what they ask. But 20% of leadership is standing up for what you believe and bringing voters to you. And that is what we're going to do. In the last quarter, we raised more money than any other candidate. That's great. The real big deal is not that. The big deal is 93,000 people gave us money. More than half those people had never given money to a political campaign before, and the average gift was less than $80. The way to beat the president who can get all those $2,000 checks is to give the 50% of Americans who have given up voting a reason to vote again. And if you do that, 3 or 4 million new people will come out. Not only will they send the president back to Crawford, I was talking to some people from St. Louis the other day. I said, we're going to send John Ashcraft back from Missouri. They said, we don't want him. Send him to Crawford, too. So we'll send Ashcraft back to Crawford. But those 3 or 4 million people are not going to vote for the president and his right-wing party. They're going to vote for other people. And therefore, Tom DeLay can go back to exterminating bugs in Houston. Bill Frist can go back to operating on hearts in Tennessee, but hopefully not mine. And we'll have a Democratic administration that'll stand up for jobs again. We'll have a health care plan that'll cover every American. We'll invest in small children and support and respect the environment again. Instead of talking like about healthy forests, which allows you to cut down old growth trees, clear skies, which means you can put more pollution in the air. And if we bring those 3 or 4 million people out, we are going to get the most votes. And this time, the person with the most votes is going to be the president. Thanks very much.